What's up? This is Movies on Up. Television will never be the same. I'm Dave, joined by my same co-host, Mr. Ryan.
Struggle every day to be the same as I was yesterday.
Yes, he is Ryan. I am Dave. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, television will never be the same. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or the Twitter, @moviesonup. This week, Mindy Kaling joins Emma Thompson on screen to bring the little screen to the big screen in Late Night. So we were thinking, how about movies starring, I don't even know how I worded it, movies where one of the people are a TV personality.
That's it, because if you like go to movies starring TV personalities, then is it movies starring Oprah, or do we do movies featuring people that used to be TV actors, like Die Hard and
Clooney?
Yeah, just yeah, no, George
the,
Clooney
the
movie.
Point was, and I mean, there's one obvious one that comes to mind that I don't want to mention because I feel like it's probably your number one. I think it could be our co-number one, but I left it off. Where maybe somebody's a weatherman or a TV reporter.
It's not on the list.
Oh, left really?
Yeah.
Really? So something like Groundhog Day.
Yes.
He's a TV weatherman.
Or another Bill Murray movie that
yes.
I also left
where
off
he's
the
a
list.
TV executive.
Yeah.
That was on my also-rans.
Yep.
And not just where in passing, where it's like, oh, I did the news down at Salt Lake City. Like, it's
integral to the story.
It's integral to the story. So that's this week's episode.
And there are a lot.
Yeah.
You may not think that there are a lot. You may have the same kind of mental gears grinding that I did when I sat down to do this list. But once you start, even if you start with the very first one I wrote down was, oh, Groundhog Day, that's easy. No, we talk about Groundhog Day a lot, so let's leave it off. Scrooged, that's easy too. Once you pull that string and you start going, there are a ton.
I mean, this is one of those that I liked it because I had the obvious ones that came to mind. I started thinking, and a lot of my obvious ones I left off.
Me too.
So like a lot of my ones that I only thought of when I started expanding my thinking are on there. And I mean, a couple I left on just because I wanted to talk about them, and they may be movies that we haven't really talked about a lot. So I could have done this list three times.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have 10 also-rans that I'm sure will get mentioned along the way.
Absolutely.
But Ryan, your number five favorite movie featuring a TV personality.
My number five is from 1992, directed by Penelope Spheeris. It's Wayne's World, starring Mike Myers, Dana Carvey, and Tia Carrere. One of the things I really enjoy about Wayne's World is its portrayal of what happens to a small indie show when it sells out. It is a cautionary tale for Movies on Up. As I like to say, it is a view into our future. As soon as Rob Lowe offers us money, I will take it and read whatever sponsor-related garbage is required, but I feel like Dave is going to stand on his moral principles.
Oh, no, I need the money.
Yeah, realistically, we both need the money. We're not going to go the way of Wayne and Garth in this movie, or fuck it, in real life as well.
I can't afford this house.
It's not just about the squabble over the morals for selling out, but it's having something that was so much in the control of Wayne and Garth when they started it in the basement, and then they lost control when they sold out. It was very interesting to me because it's kind of what happened to Mike Myers during this movie, which is why Penelope Spheeris did not direct the second one, because she had final control over the cut, and he hated that. So they took characters that were SNL characters. They were just dicking around, having a good time. And then as soon as the studio system, as soon as Hollywood money got involved, selling out, if you want, Mike Myers at this point had never been in a movie. So he sold that character to be a movie star. And it worked out well for him. He's done very, very well since Wayne's World. But I just thought it was fascinating how Wayne and Garth grew apart. They got back together by the end of the movie, but Mike Myers and Dana Carvey didn't talk for a long time. It wasn't necessarily because of Wayne's World. It was Austin Powers and the Dr. Evil thing that sort of split them up. But it was just fascinating to me. It's a funny movie. That goes without saying. The Bohemian Rhapsody thing, that's why people my age like that song. It's because of Wayne's World. And now I appreciate it more as, like, you know, something that you've created. Everybody that does anything, you know, you want to at some point be rich for doing it, to monetize it. But Wayne's World did a good job of showing you what happens when you do.
This was one of the last ones left off the list because it was one of the last ones I thought of. And I thought, oh, I'm clever. I like the thought of this one. And it is all about the TV show, really. And it's a really good movie. And giving her Final Cut was good, because then you didn't get Wayne's World 2
right.
twice. So yeah, I really like Wayne's World. I'm glad you mentioned it, or else it would have just been mentioned as one of my also-rans. Mine is from 2005. It's a Gore Verbinski movie starring Nicolas Cage in a phase of his career where he was peak Nicolas Cage. It's The Weatherman. This is adaptation, Matchstick Men, some of my favorite Nick Cage performances. This is before Nick Cage was a punchline. This is when Nick Cage was eccentric. And
City of Angels.
He was great. And this is him. He's a Chicago weatherman. Seems like everything's going well. He's just really depressed and wants to take up archery. It's a really good story about depression and faking it. It's the perfect Facebook movie, to where, like, on the surface, these people have amazing lives, but then you get through the posts and we're all just miserable piles of flesh. So this is the good movie. Gore Verbinski, he had his moments.
Yes.
And this is, you know, when Gore Verbinski was still...
He was not making swashbucklers.
Yeah. Cage, Michael Caine, Hope Davis, young Nicholas Holt in here, Gil Bellows. It's just a really good character study driven by one of the guys who is one of the best at just driving home a character.
My number four features several miserable bags of flesh, one of which played by Robin Williams in Danny DeVito's Death to Smoochie from 2002, starring Smoochie, Edward Norton, Catherine Keener, and John Stewart. And this was pretty square in my Ed Norton phase. And looking back at it now, it kind of seems against type that Robin Williams would play the treacherous former kids host, with Norton being the Mr. Rogers type. I really like Smoochie, and I'm always going to be curious how things could have turned out had the casting gone the other way. And it just got me to thinking, and I didn't really put a lot of thought into it because I don't have any other movies, because I didn't want to spoil it if we want to do this list later. And that would be movies where if you flip the leads in the roles, is it better? Smoochie, I like as it is. I kind of think I might like it better if Robin Williams was Smoochie and Edward Norton was Rainbow Randolph. But that is for another day. It's a super cynical take on children's television, as Williams Randolph proves to like exploiting his position just as much as actually entertaining kids. It's really, really dark. There are times it's very funny, but it is always very dark. Growing up, you know, watching like Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Rogers, like these kind of figures, it really makes you kind of think of those guys in another light. I don't think Mr. Rogers was a creep like Randolph at all, but I think it's maybe an overly cynical version of that. But sometimes when you have a movie featuring TV, it often is very cynical.
My number four is another movie about a bunch of sacks of stuffing from 2018. It is Brian Henson of Muppets Dad's fame, The Happy Time Murders. Yeah, the TV characters aren't the main characters in this, but they're the whole point of the plot. It's Phil Phillips, the former cop detective, or the cop
the first puppet cop.
Who's now a disgraced ex-cop and private detective, and then Melissa McCarthy, his old partner. They are hunting down somebody who's killing cast members of an old 90s kids puppet show, including Phil's brother. I liked this movie. Nobody else did. This movie bombed. People hated it. It was considered one of the worst of last year. I thought it was great. I thought it was funny. I thought it had great moments. The puppet stuff is really, really good. I really like Melissa McCarthy. Elizabeth Banks is really good in it. I really, really liked this movie. And this is one of those where I don't know what you were expecting. I went into...
I mean, from the trailer, I think they set the expectation.
Yeah. So I don't understand how you would watch this movie and not... If you willingly watched this movie and hated it, I don't get it, because you knew what you were getting into. I mean, the cum scene at the end of the trailer,
right?
That sets the tone for the movie.
Unless you're one of those idiots that brought your kids to Ted thinking like, oh, it's a teddy bear movie. Unless you're that kind of a moron.
My kids liked it.
Well,
I don't know. They might have watched it with me. I really like this movie. I like Melissa McCarthy. This one, maybe I'm stretching because it doesn't center on the TV personalities, but you take away the Happy Time gang and you don't have the Happy Time murders.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly okay to be on the list. I saw worse movies last year. I think we both had really high expectations for this. We did, I think, Roger Rabbit the week that this came out, and we were kind of hoping for maybe like an adult version.
It's another also-ran.
Yeah, which we didn't get. This one was somewhere between like Roger Rabbit and Meet the Feebles, which I guess that could be an also-ran as well. Both Feebles and Happy Time were... It's hard to say which one outgrosses the other. I mean, I think I'm leaning the Peter Jackson route, but I have no qualms with it being on there. And it didn't live up to my expectations, but I still thought it was enjoyable enough. And weird, I suppose. Weird is also what you can use to describe many a David Cronenberg movie. And my number three is one of his from 1983. It's Videodrome, starring James Woods, Sonia Smits, and Debbie Harry. I'm always fascinated by what is thought to be popular and how, given what is popular now, might lead one to surmise what may be popular in the future. Let me explain that a little bit better. In the 1980s, they had this really bleak view of what television would become in the future, because there are a lot of 80s movies that are taking place right now or have already set to have taken place. So the things they thought about the future did not look good, especially when it comes to TV. Woods plays a TV executive who runs a station in Toronto, which essentially broadcasts sex and violence. That is about it. Those old twosome, you know, dance with who brought you. He gets hip to this pirate signal out of Malaysia that appears to show snuff TV, thinking that is, of course, the next evolution of what his audience would like. He puts it on his station. Shit goes sideways from there. VHS tapes get inserted into chest cavities. The new flesh is welcomed, and we're off and running from there. I've always found the idea of pirate streams to be interesting as well, something that is sort of forbidden or taboo. To be honest, that is the reason I watch some of the movies that I do. Do you think any normal person sits down with a bowl of popcorn to watch Antichrist for any other reason? I can assure you it is not. While I may not agree with the nefarious political message in Videodrome as it relates to TV as a means of control, I do totally agree with the idea of TV as a replacement for actual life. There's a character in the movie who's that's his goal, is to try and just take out everything shitty in your life, replace it with TV, and we're all going to be much happier. That, to me, is scarier than any snuff film.
Speaking of snuff films and violence and gore and blood cells, we're going to my number three, which may be kind of pushing it. I maybe bent the rules a little bit, but I wanted to put Dan Gilroy's Nightcrawler from 2014 on here.
Not bending. No,
yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal's not an on-air personality.
Doesn't have to be.
But he's making it in TV by essentially filming snuff stuff.
Selling it as news.
Selling
that's TV.
Violence to Rene Russo. And we've talked about this movie a lot before, so I was tempted to kind of leave it off. But I love it. It's really, really hard not to talk
somehow
about.
Somehow still underappreciated. We talk about it a lot, but because nobody else does, fuck it. I'll talk about it all the time.
Yeah, if you give me a chance to bring it up, I'm bringing it up. Plus, I love Gyllenhaal and Gilroy got back together this year for a movie that I really liked. Not as much as Nightcrawler.
No. He Gyllenhaaled his way through that, too.
Oh, yeah. But I loved it. Everybody Gyllenhaaled their way through that.
That's very true.
I absolutely loved it. But I love this because we often talk about, we'll criticize a movie for having no arc, for if your main characters have no arc. This one, that's the point of the movie. Like, he doesn't have an arc. He has, what's the opposite of an arc? He goes down.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't, instead of, there's no character growth. There's character deprivation.
Yeah, he has an arc. It's just a downward arc.
He's a worse character at the end
than
he is at the beginning. But Riz Ahmed's really good in it. Rene Russo's great. Bill Paxton. I love this movie. And Jake Gyllenhaal. How he wasn't nominated for an Oscar for this, I will never know. He's so good in this. It's just one of those where it's watched, like, that's acting. If I picture a movie star and, like, what acting is, that's what Gyllenhaal is doing in this movie. He is so good, and it's so well written and directed. I love this movie so much.
If you needed further evidence that no one from the Academy of Arts and Sciences listens to our podcast, look no further than the fact that Nightcrawler wasn't nominated for just about anything. That's not our fault. My number two is from 1987, directed by James L. Brooks, starring Holly Hunter, William Hurt, and Albert Brooks. It is broadcast news. If you were wondering what it might look like if Ron Burgundy turned into Tom Brokaw, or like a vapid version of Brokaw, this is the movie for you. There's a reason that Anchorman works. It's because as a society, we think that news anchors are barely literate morons. And for the most part, that's kind of correct, as demonstrated by Hurt's character. He's handsome and charismatic, but he has no idea what he's reading, let alone the impact of these stories on the populace most of the time. However, because he's handsome and charismatic, he's got a better career track than Brooks's character, despite not being nearly the reporter that Brooks is. Of course, both characters have an interest in Hunter's take-no-shit producer, while she has an interest in actual hard news. It is a serious, yet here's that C word again, cynical take on the face of news and what traits we should value in a news person and even what stories we should be running. She starts the movie talking about puff pieces and how they really don't have any place in journalism, but it's what gets put on the news because it makes people feel good. It's something they agree with. It's something they want to seek out. Who doesn't want to read the story where, you know, the kitty and the fox are playing together, whatever two animals you want? But that's not necessarily the point of news. The point is to inform and to educate. And I think nowadays people do not want to be either of those things.
No, they want to be told.
Yes, they want to be told something they already believe. They want to be affirmed.
Yeah.
And that is the role of news now. It's cynical, but maybe they got a point.
Yeah, this was another one I circled around because I mean, there's another one that I think does better that I haven't mentioned yet because I didn't know if it was on
it's
your
not.
List. Okay.
Left it off because I talk about it a lot.
Yeah, we talk about Network a lot.
All the time.
Broadcast news is kind of the...
Is Network light?
The comedy version of Network, I guess.
Yeah.
Same kind of...
Less on-air suicide.
My number two, I really like. It's a really great movie from 1998, directed by Mimi Leder. It is Deep Impact. Taya Leone plays a journalist who is hunting down a politician affair and then stumbles across something bigger than that and then becomes the television personality that is guiding viewers to the end of the world as there's a comet that's going to collide with Earth and end world unless you're chosen to go to the underground bunker. So she's really good in this movie. Yeah, her being a journalist and being on, I mean, she rises up and she's like the face. She gets picked because of, so I mean, her being a TV news reporter is very integral to the part because it's a ensemble movie, but I think she's the heart and soul of the movie. She's the one guiding the viewer through everything that's going on. It's just such a good movie. This is one of those that it came out when Armageddon did. And I don't know why I'm always on the other side. Like, I like this way more than Armageddon. I like
Volcano
White House Down
more than Dante's Peak.
I like White House Down way more than Olympus Has Fallen. But this movie is so good. And it holds up. Like, you watch it now, it's so well done and well acted. Elijah Wood, Robert Duvall, Vanessa Redgrave, Morgan Freeman, Ron Eldar, Jon Favreau. There's so many people in this movie. Lily Sobieski, Blair Underwood. The cast is great. Mimi Leder does a fantastic job. It's a very well-paced movie for everything that's going on. And there are stakes. If you don't get picked and you don't
There's
go
a
under,
big stake.
Yeah, you're done.
The biggest of the stakes.
And it does have that conflict of like, oh, if I go, that's somebody else that isn't. If I go, there are people that I care about that aren't going. There's a lot there that this movie does a really good job of tackling. And it's a really, really good movie. And it's one of those that I try to shoehorn anywhere I can. If I could talk about Deep Impact, I'm going to talk about Deep Impact. It is, to me, it's the house party of comet movies. I want people to watch it because it's still great and it still holds up and I love it.
My number one is incredibly, at least I feel like it's incredibly predictable. It is from 1987, directed by Paul Michael Glaser. So my one and two, both from the same year, both very cynical portraits of what TV is going to be like. Very specifically for my number one, which takes place in 2019. That is the year of the Bakersfield riots, of course, committed by Arnold Schwarzenegger in The Running Man. He stars opposite Maria Conchita Alonso and the goddamn wonderful Richard Dawson.
So good in this movie.
This makes a ton of list, and damn it, there is no way on this list I was going to leave this movie off. Not only is the entire A plot about a television show, Richard Dawson, very famous TV dude, playing a TV dude wonderfully. He hosted Family Feud, so he's got the chops of hosting a game show, and he's also got the charisma of an actor. He had made his bones on Hogan's Heroes before going the game show route. So he was born to play Killian. And sometimes you can tell when an actor really loves playing a character because of what they're able to bring to the role. He brought this duplicity to Killian. He's kissing babies and old ladies, all while trying to manufacture stories to give the population somebody to root against and somebody to root for. It didn't matter that Ben Richards actually did not kill all these civilians, but man, look at this guy. He'd be great on the show. So let's edit the videotape to show that he's a murderer, so everybody's going to hate him. Let's edit the video to show that Captain Freedom killed him and impaled him on a spike, despite the fact it didn't happen. Anything for the show. I loved that. Arnold is peak 80s Arnold, dishing out one-liner after one-liner, and it is a fine action movie. But when The Running Man is at its best is when Dawson is on screen. And while we haven't completely gone the way of the totalitarian state that The Running Man would have you believe we would be in 2019,
we're getting there. We're a couple years early.
Take a look back at this movie and see how it hits on some of the socioeconomic conditions that are present today, if you can get past the spandex-clad opera singers.
This was one that was circling my radar, too. And this was another one of those that I thought, like, oh, I'm clever. I'm a clever girl. Like, I thought this was, like...
I didn't think this was clever at all. It's so on the nose, but I fucking love this movie.
Yeah, I was circling it. My number one, not just about a TV personality, and where's, like, Scrooge we left off, that he was a TV executive. Well, what about somebody who runs a station? And that's who stars in my 1989, directed by Jay Levy, UHF, starring Weird Al Yankovic, Victoria Jackson, Michael Richards, Fran Drescher's in there. You give me an opportunity to bring up Weird Al's movie? Absolutely. I've watched this with my kids recently. I love it. I love Weird Al. I love his music. They love his music. I love his movie. They love his movie. It's so stupid and fun. And just seeing some of the shows that they came up with, and just, I can't think of this movie without having a big old smile on my face. So it wasn't the first one that came to mind. Groundhog Day was the first one that came to mind. And then like Network and stuff like that. Even Who Framed Roger Rabbit came up, and that Good Night and Good Luck and stuff like that came up. But I thought, they're not UHF. And I don't know that I've ever been able to mention UHF on this show before after 7 years or whatever. So I not only get a chance to put UHF on a list, but I can put it number one. Absolutely. UHF is my number one.
I feel like as long as we've talked about the movies that are on our list, we could probably talk about just naming movies that weren't on the list, but some that I left off. Quiz Show.
That was on there too.
Yeah.
Because I love that movie.
Yeah. Walking down similar paths. Anchorman. I think people get it. You don't need me to tell you that. I was waiting for you to try and justify April O'Neil as a TV reporter.
I didn't think about it, but I wish I would have.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles on there. Yeah, most of my other ones we've mentioned. And at some point, I just stopped listing also-rans.
Yeah, I mean, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, I think, was a good one. Christine, the Rebecca Hall one a few years ago, where she was the news anchor who shot herself on screen. I think the hardest one to leave off was To Die For, from around, 95 or so, with Nicole Kidman. That movie is a trip. It's Nightcrawler on the other side of the camera, pretty much. It's her wanting to do whatever it takes to get on TV and get that fame. It's such a good movie. So that one was tough. But, I mean, all the other also-rans, just been mentioned. Like, I left off Groundhog Day Network because I thought they'd be up there. And
they generally are.
But, I mean, this was one of those where once you start thinking, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, this is a wide open. Because if we revisited it in, like, 6 months, I'm sure we come up with a bunch of different stuff. I would put Turtles up there.
Yeah, I mean, we were able to come up with a lot of also-rans knowing that we only needed five. I feel like can't put any of these five on. Probably come up with with that many more, it's TV's been a giant part of our society for almost as long as movies have. So it makes sense. There's a lot of movies about TV shows.
When I scheduled it in the calendar, I thought, oh, this transitions into next week perfectly. Groundhog Day is going to be our co-number one. We're going to rave about Groundhog Day. Yeah. And then next week, The Dead Don't Die come to theater, star Jim Bill Jarmusch's Murray, zombie movie starring Bill Murray. So next week, our favorite Bill Murray movies. This one's going to be fun because I can rattle off a bunch off the top of my head. Can I rank them? I don't know.
Yeah.
I could name 10 that I want in my top three. Like, honestly.
They're all
like
going to be tied.
Yeah.
The
so,
vintage
I mean,
Dave Bissella.
This is going to be a tough one because it's going to be hard not to have crossover because we both love them. I might just make my list up as I go to make sure that there's no. But, I mean, I think we know each other well enough that we know what to leave off. But
I mean, it's difficult. Like, there are some. I'm not stepping out of line. Ghostbusters is not
one of the most important movies to both of us.
Yes, it is not going to be one that's left off. I mean, yes, we talk about it a lot. Sometimes we try and do that, but you're walking a line between actually making the list that you say you're going to make and doing a version of that that really doesn't have any of the movies that should be on there. So
this is going to be fun because what I like about actor episodes is you go through and there's always stuff that like, oh yeah, I forgot about that, or I forgot how much I liked that. So I'm excited to do that with Bill Murray because I could rattle off probably my top five right now, but I'm excited to see how that changes once we look at it. So that's next week. But until then,
keep it up.